You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Hey, guys. This is the tall, handsome, athletic, and most importantly, humble, High Score Tees partner Freemason Live here to talk to you about leveling up your merch game. Does your current merch suck? Are you tired of your community yelling at you, begging you for awesome designs on high quality products? Well, look no further. High Score Tees is now accepting partner applications. Join the family of over 100 professional content creators where you can have custom designed merch created by the industry's leading designers. We are not kidding around. They are the sh**. But it doesn't stop there. Signing up means you also receive a high-quality platform, support for you and your community, and around-the-clock customer service. It's time to level up your merch game. Sign up today, and maybe one day, you can be as tall, handsome, and humble as me.
Episode 61 of Star Wars and Scotch. I'm Kevin, joined by Tim, as always.
Hey.
And today we are going to be discussing, the Lorna D book, how hard it is to get on the Galactic Star Cruiser, the fact that the new Thrawn novel apparently retcons the end of Rebels. I'm going to read the whole article and then let Tim go into that because he's got more info on Thrawn than I do. And there was one other thing. What am I forgetting? I can talk about the Ronin book because I finished it. Okay.
We're going to talk about the video game.
The Quantic Dream game. That's what I was. It leaked last week that Quantic Dream is apparently working on a Star Wars game, which is like boner jams. So cool, cool. Where do you want to start, Tim?
What?
We can talk about our text message exchange this morning to start. I finished Ronin.
Oh, yeah, let's talk. Okay, sure. Let's start with that. Yeah.
Finished Ronin. First of all, we're both drinking delicious King's Coast coffee spiked with Star Wars scotch. So enjoy your morning with Star Wars scotch.
Okay, so if you were to start a distillery.
Uh-huh.
And you would, of course, it was going to be Star Wars themed. Yeah. What would you actually name your first batch of Star Wars scotch?
So you have a sister.
So you have a sister. Why is it always inappropriate names we come up with for alcohol?
What do you when you consume a lot of alcohol?
Yeah, but like scotch is a fancy drink. It's like a sipper.
Never forget that Ben wants to make a vodka and bourbon pairing that is big dick and wet pussy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And then then the sister joke. And so it's just always inappropriate names.
Yeah. This would be geared towards rednecks, by the way.
Yeah, because that's the demographic.
Yeah, that's what we're going for. Just
redneck scotch drinkers.
So I was listening to Aftermath this morning and I got to one of the interludes, which sometimes the interludes in the Aftermath books, I'm like, okay, this is fun and informative. You know, it's something that's not happening. We got what's his face in Mandalorian from the interludes, the sheriff. What's his name? The guy I can't remember, played by Timothy Oliphant in season 2. That guy.
It's like watching him just like try to go for it.
Oh, you know the name and you're not saying anything.
No, I don't remember his name either. It's going to take me a second. Keep talking. I'll remember.
It's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm Googling it to really... Cobb Vanth.
I remembered his name last week, and then this time, because you asked me to, I forgot.
Put you on the spot. So we got Cobb Vanth out of the interludes, but this one was Jar Jar being a clown in Theed on Naboo, and apparently he talks about how he's exiled from Gungan, the Gungan city. And I texted Tim... Do I have my phone? I do have my phone. I'm going to read this verbatim.
Here, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay,
so he sends me a picture and it says, "So Jar Jar's still alive." and said, I told you this. He dies on Naboo in exile as a clown. The perfect ending for an idiot. Kevin says,
that's actually sad, Tim. Lol.
He brought the emperor to power. He got what he deserved.
Yikes.
What? That's, I mean, like, I, it's
you
the perfect
really
ending.
Hate him.
It's the perfect ending for a clown because he's a terrible character.
You really hate
There's,
him.
There's like in the entire story arc for the prequels, Jar Jar's character is nothing but just tomfoolery. Like, he's just an idiot. Like, there's no way to connect with him because he's just always messing up in everything. Like he can't run on his own. I can't think of one thing that Jar Jar did right that was great for anyone.
He accidentally tripped and opened up the bomb things that get all of the droid army soldiers.
They still got captured.
Yeah, but they would have gotten captured a lot sooner if he didn't accidentally open that thing.
They still got captured.
He can't take on the whole droid army, Tim. He's a secret Sith. He can't do it in public.
Oh, see, okay, and that's the problem. That's the problem that I absolutely hate with Jar Jar, is that people still hold on to this goddamn idea that he's some Sith splinter cell that was inserted by who, God knows who. And no, it says in the goddamn book, he goes to Naboo in exile. The Gungans don't want him. They hate him. So what do they turn him into? A fucking jester to entertain all the little kids in Naboo. And that's how he dies.
I'm actually amazed at how angry you get and how easy it is to trigger you, but just by those simple, simple words.
I hate the Sith idea that it's Jar Jar.
What about, like, the drunken master one?
What drunken? Oh, that he's... Oh.
He's like, you know, the drunken master style of kung fu. Like,
yeah, when you get really drunk and you're really loose. Yeah,
yeah, so he's supposedly him. A drunken Jedi.
No, it's because George Lucas was high out of his mind while he was making the prequels, and there we go. That's how we got Jar Jar.
Drunken Fist Master. This is an old article. It's from Vice. Where is it? Yoda really comes from a tradition in mythology storytelling. No. Drunken Fist is a bona fide style of fighting with footwork and strikes developed out of the stumbling gait of a drunken fool, but it was never meant to be a style such as like Shaolin, blah, blah, blah. If we take a look at Jar Jar in the very opening of the film, we see him preparing to somersault into the lake in front of two Jedi. Compare this with a drunken master centering himself in this picture. It does look similar. And again, this article is on Vice. Okay, maybe. The somersault in and of itself is spectacular and out of character for a clown who steps in poo-doo and gets his tongue caught in contraptions throughout the movies, but no big deal. Jar Jar's amphibian, even toads can look graceful when they leap into scummy ponds. But check out all these tricks. Oh my god. Oh.
No.
I'm not even going to send this to you. It'll make you
no.
angry.
Uh-uh.
It's pretty compelling. It's on Vice if you want
to
read it.
I don't know why the fans hold on to this. I don't know why they love him so much.
Well, your community holds on to it because you flip out every time. So it's just fun.
Yeah, because
point.
They're all a bunch of idiots and they start talking about Jar Jar. There, I said it.
Look, you started the cult. Now you have to see it through.
It's a community, Kevin.
It's cool. Yeah, it was. I guess it's not sad because he is making people happy still, but you know, he's. I don't know. He's still a character,
Kevin,
in Star Wars.
Kevin, if I was to usher in the dawn of the most tyrannical leader known to man.
I mean, you might.
Let's say that it happened, all right? Let's say I ushered in a galactic emperor. Okay. Who went planet by planet, destroyed lives, families, entire systems for his own gain.
Yeah.
How would you treat me? Would you be like, oh, Tim, buddy, come on over for a cookout? Or would you be like, no, be gone? You wouldn't have me over for Sunday brunch.
I might. Did you do it on purpose?
I didn't mean to. It just happened.
So shit happens, dude. You know, why am I going to hold that against you?
I hate you so much. You're just doing it to be difficult.
Anyway, Jar Jar's alive at the end of Aftermath, which means he, and they make it sound like he's close to death too. He's like old
and
gray.
He's old.
And still playing with fish. But he made the kid laugh, and that's cute. It's cute, Tim.
He's dead. He died.
Let me touch on Ronin real quick. So Ronin, if you've watched Visions, the book is based on the first episode. The first two chapters of the book are the first episode of Visions. From there it goes. I thought that this existed somewhere within what was the canon universe. I didn't think the story was canon. I thought it existed in the canon universe. It does not. It is a complete offshoot of the Star Wars, like an alternate timeline almost.
Yeah, a multiverse,
everything is,
if you will,
very based in feudal Japan. The Empire is actually the Jedi, because they serve the Emperor and the Emperor's sons, who are the princes. Apparently in this world, the Emperor's died and the princes are all warring for control of the galaxy. But they use phrases like the Outer Rim, but it's all planets we've never heard of, like Genbara and Raizu and all these places. Ooh. The Sith are Jedi defectors. They no longer wanted to serve their masters, so they splintered off and they destroyed this one planet, Raizu, which was a Jedi hub, and they, you know, massacred all the Jedi. The Sith are led by a woman who's referred to as the Witch and a man who's referred to as the Dark Lord. Ooh. Not going to give away any plots twists on that, because there are some along the way. But our hero, who later in the book you'll find everyone comes to call him Grimm, is a former Sith who's now kind of like, he's not a bounty hunter because he's not getting paid, but he's kind of going around the galaxy killing Sith almost as penance. The Witch can raise the dead, so the dead come back. It's almost like, have you ever seen Legend of the Seeker?
No.
So in season 2 of Legend of the Seeker, the people are brought back from the dead, but to keep being alive, they have to kill people. The like the devil in that, his name is the Keeper. He's the Keeper
like
of the underworld,
kind of.
But they have to keep killing people and send them to the Keeper to stay alive. Otherwise, they'll be brought back to the underworld. It's similar to that in that they have to do the bidding of the Witch to continue to stay alive. So they're not necessarily zombies, but they're definitely undead. And a lot of references to Japanese culture. For instance, I think I mentioned this last week, the walkers are all designed after animals from like the Japanese. Is it considered zodiac calendar or just the Japanese calendar?
I think that's Chinese, so I don't know.
So then it's modeled after Chinese. I'm sorry, that my mistake there. Yeah, Chinese New Year. Yeah, you're right. It's like the year of whatever. There's different animals and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the animals they reference are real animals, just kind of slightly changed, but stuff you'd find in Asia and whatnot. The Jedi robes are described as what you'd samurai outside their armor, like that type of thing. It's interesting. And there's still aliens that we know and are familiar with. They talk about Twi'leks at one point. They talk about Gungans at one point. So there are aliens that we know exist. It's a good book. I will say this. It starts strong and ends strong. There's a big lull in the beginning, in the middle, that because you're not connected to this version of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
I had trouble staying the course.
Sure.
But then the last like five chapters, it really just ramps up to a really good finale. So if you're going to sit down and read it, it's as long as any other Star Wars book. I think it was a 12-hour Audible book. And I own the hard copy too, just because of the cover art. It's worth a read if you've got time, but know that in the middle there is a long period where I think they're trying to world build.
I was going
to
ask if they're doing character building and stuff.
Yeah, because they're talking about people's history and you're finding out more about the characters.
That sounds like they're going to do another book then.
But there's like one point, Tim, where they're on a ship for three chapters and they're just talking.
Oh,
and
that's
like,
but that's normal for a Star Wars book. The problem is, to your point, you didn't care enough about the characters at all because you knew this didn't matter to the normal Star Wars timeline.
And I also didn't. It wasn't the normal recognizable phrasing and places and people that I'm used to. You know, even if you go to High Republic and Old Republic, they're constantly talking about things we already know about.
Yeah.
So you're getting more of an interest in like, oh, what's going on in this period when we're, you know, in this part of the galaxy and what's going on with these people in this race. You don't get that as much with this because it's not tied to the, like Tim said, the canon. So it does lag. But overall, you know, I'd give it like a 6.5 out of 10. Very strong start, very strong finish. Some peaks and valleys in the middle, but there is a part of it that just kind of drags.
That sucks.
So aside from that, it was good. I enjoyed it. I highly recommend. It's a very interesting take on Star Wars. I hope she writes another book because I'd be interested
to
see.
Who is the author?
Emma Miko. I forget her other part of her last name. Star Wars Ronin book. Emma Miko something. Show me the picture. Emma Miko Candon. She did a good job.
Who was the narrator who did the audio version?
A guy I'd never heard before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a new guy. So, and I don't think it would have mattered. Like, he was good. He did a good job.
I don't see myself listening to it.
I don't think you will. I think you have other stuff you want to, but, you know, we have people that listen to the show that read the books in 3 days that take us a month
crazy.
To read.
Yeah, they're crazy. And they're like, are you done with it yet, Tim? Like, dude, I haven't even started it yet.
Can you talk about thing? So for those people, Ronin's is a good read for you. So give it a whirl if you're all caught up on everything. Like, Tim and I are still struggling to get through the comics before the first of the year when the new stuff comes out. So, and that's mainly a time thing because we're busy.
You just need more time, Kevin.
We're busy. You should just invent the time machine and just, but then we'll be tired. Because if you think about how time machines work, you go back in time and get more work done.
Yeah.
But then you're just going to be tired because you're going to be pulling a longer day. So does it really work?
What if you like sleep for 8 hours, then wake up and then you turn the time back and then you sleep again? You just an infinite loop of sleep.
All right.
So
that is true because you control time. So you can do that.
Well, something I can't control apparently is how Thrawn's going to mess up the end of Rebels.
Yes.
So, can we talk about that?
Yeah, please? Let me read the Screen Rant article, and then you can kind of drive this narration because you've read all the Thrawn novels I haven't. So I'm going to read this article in its entirety because it's going to explain everything. ScreenRant.com. The title of the article is Star Wars Retcons Rebels Series Finale and Ezra's Thrawn Ending. Timothy Zahn's Thrawn Ascendancy, Lesser Evil, subtly rewrites the dramatic series finale of Rebels, setting up a spectacular future.
What? Oh, no.
Rebels' dramatic finale has just been subtly rewritten by Timothy Zahn's Star Wars novel. Now, keep in mind, too, Zahn's been doing this for a while, so he's very close to the character, so I kind of trust the journey with him. Thrawn Ascendancy, Lesser Evil, setting up a very different fate for Grand Admiral Thrawn and Jedi Padawan Ezra Bridger. The dramatic Star Wars Rebels Season 4 finale saw Ezra outsmart the Chist Grand Admiral using the Purgles, the AKA the Space Whales, to wreck Thrawn's fleet. The Purgles jumped into hyperspace, taking Thrawn's flagship with them, with Ezra aboard. Lothal was freed from the Empire, but at a terrible cost to the Rebels. Grand Admiral and Jedi Padawan alike were lost in the depths of the unknown regions. The fate of Thrawn and Ezra has remained a mystery, albeit one Lucasfilm seemingly intends to explore, right? We all thought that, too.
Yep.
Thrawn appears to have avoided returning from the unknown regions for some years, arriving in the Outer Rim shortly before The Mandalorian Season 1. There are hints in Season 2 that Thrawn is the one secretly organizing an Imperial remnant who are building up their forces in the Outer Rim, which is... Oh. Tim, I've said this before. Ex-Jedi Ahsoka Tano is aware of his activities, and she's hunting him down in the hopes of finding out what happened to Ezra. After 30 years, Thrawn is once again key to Star Wars' future. Because the Chiss Grand Admiral is being set up as the major Imperial threat in the time period of Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and presumably also the Book of Boba Fett, Lucasfilm Publishing has commissioned celebrated author Timothy Zahn, the man who created Grand Admiral Thrawn for the old EU, to tell Thrawn's canon backstory. And in the final book in the series, Thrawn Ascendancy, Lesser Evil, features a major twist that potentially changes everything. Grand Admiral Thrawn had previously been believed to be a Chiss exile, recruited by the Empire and now loyal to their philosophy. In reality, it seems his exile was contrived by Chiss military leaders precisely for the purpose of getting him into the Empire. Thrawn's mission was twofold. He was to investigate the newborn Empire, assessing them as a potential ally against the myriad threats of the unknown regions, and send allies back to the Chiss. He was never loyal to the Empire at all, instead only ever viewing them as a tool to be used to protect the Chiss.
That's and what in fact, he
always intended to return to the Unknown Regions in the end. This significantly rewrites the end of Rebels in that it offers a potential explanation for Thrawn's failure to return immediately to the Empire. He may not have intended to travel to the Unknown Regions via Purgil, but in reality, he seems to have stayed with the Empire a lot longer than he intended to. Ezra's Purgil strategy would have left Thrawn in the Unknown Regions once again, and instead of returning to the Empire, presumably decided to complete his mission by heading back to the Chiss. The Empire would have believed this his ship lost in hyperspace, meaning he had the perfect excuse for being missing should he ever seek to return to the galaxy. Ezra's presence, too, becomes rather more significant in light of Zahn's latest trilogy. The Unknown Regions is rife with navigation hazards, and it can be best charted by Force Sensitives using a technique the Chiss calls skywalking. I'm almost done. There's like three sentences left. Rather than remain enemies, Thrawn and Ezra could well have forged an alliance to survive the Unknown Regions, one that saw Ezra then choose to remain with the Chiss. The interesting question, though, is why Thrawn would then return to the Empire several years after Return of the Jedi. It's possible he's not actually planning to go up against the New Republic at all, but that instead the Chiss are facing a threat in the Unknown Regions that demands new resources. If that's the case, future Star Wars could go in a very unexpected direction indeed.
Okay. So.
Go.
That does not retcon the end of Rebels at all. What have I said? What have I said about Thrawn from the beginning? He's always 10 steps ahead. He never makes a mistake ever. They've made it very, very clear in the books that you know that Thrawn is never surprised ever. He always has a plan. And he, I know for a fact he would have not let himself fall into a trap like that. I truly believe that he was ready and prepared to go off because he knew that he needed to get out of there. He needed an excuse because at the end of book three of Thrawn, the Emperor is not happy. The Emperor is pissed off. He knows that Thrawn is going to betray him. He knows that Thrawn is not loyal to the Emperor. The Emperor is very, very sure that Thrawn is an enemy, not a friend. And we find out in Ascendancy that, yeah, Thrawn is used as a tool. He's implanted by the, like, they start off book one making you feel like he is exiled from the Ascendancy because he has to tell that story to the Emperor. And we as listeners are hearing that story. We aren't really like capturing what's in Thrawn's head when he's saying that. But we kind of get those small inclinations as they are developing the character that he is loyal. The Ascendancy is always first. And then they reinforce that with the Ascendancy series as we get the full picture of Thrawn from beginning to where we find him with the Emperor. And so I still don't believe that I haven't read the book yet. It came out on the 16th. I don't even know if the audio version's ready yet because I have to listen. I have to listen to it just because it's just so good. And so I'm very, very excited to hear it because book one and two for the Ascendancy series is just phenomenal. But anyways, I don't see that as a retcon. I really, really believe that Thrawn knew what he was doing. Now, bringing him back into the Star Wars universe, knowing that he's alive, knowing that he didn't die, we found that out in season two of The Mandalorian. In season one, I still don't understand how and where those Easter eggs were put. I'm a little lost there. But I don't remember what I said word for word, but I feel like when we found out, when they said Thrawn, where is your master? Where is Thrawn? I felt like she was going after people who worked under Thrawn to see where, if he had any type of communication with him. I don't take that as Thrawn is recruiting ex-Imperial forces to create a new empire. I don't think that's the case.
He's somehow involved.
I don't think he's involved with the cloning or anything like that.
I don't know if he's involved with the cloning, but he's somehow involved in what's going on because...
Going on with who? With Mandalore?
No.
Or with the Empire?
I think with Empire stuff.
I don't think so. He didn't care. He used the Empire as a tool. He used them to benefit the... he used them to benefit the ascendancy, but he did that completely under a ruse.
The only reason I say that is because she says, "Where's your master, Grand Admiral Thrawn?" To the
right. Right, because that's what he was when she was serving under. I still think she was serving under him while he was the Grand Admiral, while he was still in power. I don't think he comes back as Grand Admiral Thrawn and is trying to recruit a new Imperial Navy. That's the whole thing. Again, the ascendancy is first. He is loyal to the ascendancy, not to the Empire. So then why would he go back? If he got a free pass out of galactic space and it out into the outer past the outer rim into unknown territory back to the ascendancy, he finds a Nav Guild member. He's well known. Everyone in the unknown space knows who Thrawn is, and so he finds a navigator. He goes back to the ascendancy. He tells him everything that happened, and I think if anything, Kevin, this is where we get into the Grisk. They might loop, start bringing the Grisk into it, because now there's no one to fight. Everybody's kind of licking their wounds after the battles. It's 5 years after the fall of the Empire. The New Republic is still kind of trying to figure everything out. They don't have a lot of forces in the Outer Rim right now. They're focused on the core territories. And so it's open for business. And so we could see the emergence of the Grisk into galactic space. This could be a whole new story arc, and it could be what happens with Ahsoka, because it's so because the Grisk are talked about so much, and like they're a scary race, not even a race. They're a collective force,
the hegemony.
So
the Grisk, how do you say that word? Hegemony.
They're like nomads. They're like nomads.
Hegemony. I had to go to Google and haven't played. Yeah, the Grisk hegemony. I mean, I hope they're the Yuuzhan Vong.
Well, so the Grisk, from what you've told me, the Yuuzhan Vong, they're kind of like the Yuuzhan Vong. They're a war race. But they enslave others to do their bidding.
The Yuuzhan Vong kind of do that, but the Yuuzhan Vong have more of a caste system in their society where, you know, you're either at the top as a ruler, in the middle, you know, as a soldier, things like that. And then at the bottom, it's like trade and whatnot.
That's essentially what they do. It is like they treat the lower tiers of people that they've collected as like the slaves and whatnot to do all the work, and then you've got the upper tier, and then you've got the guys at the top. At least that's how it's been explained. We really haven't unless they really break it down here. But
yeah, and the Yuuzhan Vong ships are like, they're like sentient.
We don't know what the Grisk look like.
Right. There's no pictures of them anywhere I've looked. So I don't know. I hope so.
So I would say it's not a retcon. I would say it's a reinforcement of the character. It showcases that Thrawn knew what he was doing from the beginning. He knew that he had to get out, and he essentially had to fake his death. There was no other way. The Emperor needed to believe that Thrawn was dead. And that's what happens. Reports come back from Lothal. Emperor Thrawn was sucked up into hyperspace by a space whale. Ezra Bridger's dead. You know, like, that's how I see it happening. And then, you know, the Emperor can't even feel him anymore. And the Emperor never had the Emperor couldn't read his mind. And so like the Emperor's connection with Thrawn was never as strong like it was with Vader. But that's what he wanted. Like, that was the whole idea, is like Thrawn was the yin to Vader. He was the light to the dark. He kind of like balanced them out. The Emperor wanted to use both tools. He knew that. You know, Vader was the attack dog, and Thrawn was the war mastermind.
Interesting.
I love the Thrawn theories. I think that is probably one of my favorite characters in Star Wars right now. He's just a really, really neat character, and I am just so excited knowing that there is a possibility that we will see him in a live action. Like, that is just so cool to me. It was like the same feeling of like when you knew we were going to get Ahsoka And it was just like, man, everything was perfect. Like, we knew that Rosario Dawson was going to kill it because we saw Boss Logic's like render of what she would look like. And I was like, yeah, that's her. That's Ahsoka as an adult. I'm just so good. I'm excited for it.
Well, we'll see. Mandalorian, I think it's filming now, so I don't think we're going to see it till like the summer.
I think it's going to be a fall one.
Yeah, that's probably right. Wasn't season one in the fall?
Yes, it was. It was right around Halloween. Okay, so here's a question though, but how is he going to end up in Book of Boba? How's that going to work?
Well, if it Book of Boba literally picks off immediately following the last season of Mandalorian.
I'm curious as to how Boba is going to get involved with. I wonder if it's just going to be like a nod. I wonder if it'll just be like a mention.
I feel like he's in the Ahsoka show.
That would make the most sense because Ahsoka and Thrawn go hand in hand because of Rebels, and that's how everyone knows.
You'll see all of the Rebels characters live action in the Ahsoka show, and I think you'll see Thrawn. Because it makes sense for Ahsoka to be in the Obi-Wan show. It does not make sense for Thrawn to be in the Obi-Wan show. That's Vader and the Emperor.
It does not. Yeah.
And we'll finally see live action Inquisitors. I don't think you'll see. I mean, maybe Thrawn makes an appearance in Andor. I don't know.
I don't think so.
He loves that espionage shit.
It's true.
So who knows? I don't know. I have a feeling Andor is going to have a new like Imperial commander or something as our villain, or it might take one of the Imperial commanders from Rebels for Andor. What's the one guy from the Bad Batch, the Admiral, the one that was becoming slightly a dick by the end? It might be him.
Yeah, it could be. Interesting. Be fun.
Yeah, might be him because he would fall right into that timeline. And they seemed like they were giving him a nice push during Bad Batch.
He's just a fun villain.
He's got a good villain voice.
Yes.
That's what makes him. Well, it can't be what's his face from. Well, actually, it could. It could be the guy from Rogue One because Andor's before Rogue One. Director Krennic. It could be Krennic.
Do you think they'd bring Krennic? But Krennic was only focused on the energy, the quote unquote energy project, which was the Death Star.
But so right, isn't Andor going to be primarily about them discovering that they have a super weapon or they're building a super weapon and then they want to get the plans?
I mean, that was Rogue One. So
because it's the second Death Star, that's the Bothan spies, so it wouldn't be
right. But all of Rogue One was about them getting the plans for the Death Star. Like, why would they make it? I don't think they'll make a show about that. I think it's going to be other like Rebel like spies.
I think it'll be
stuff.
Other stuff, but don't you think the overarching story would be them like the Empire's? We have to learn more about the super weapon that they're building. Rogue One was like, we have to get the blueprints and destroy it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I just don't feel like that would be fun.
I think they're going to find out that through other missions.
But they
and
find
stuff.
Out about that like in Rebels and stuff too. I mean, like, and we knew about it in Clone Wars, and they mention it. I would assume they're going to end up mentioning it in.
Well,
in
Clone
Bad
Wars
Batch.
Is the original development of it. Like, that's
right, but
when
like
the project starts.
Right, and so and then you can go into the book that is the. Before Rogue One, not Operation Cinder, Catalyst. Catalyst does a lot of talking about the development of the Death Star and things like that. So that's because a lot of the leaks came from what's his face from her dad. Like he was the reason why the people got the plans for it anyways. Like he designed the flaw. That exhaust tube, he put that in there. The exhaust vent for Luke to fire the torpedo through that was made specifically the width of a torpedo.
Yeah, he put that in there.
He made that, and it's in an interlude It's in an interlude in Catalyst when it talks about him leaving a message talking about the vulnerability of the Death Star. It was perfect.
But don't forget that Mads Mikkelsen played, what's his name? I forget his name. Jin's dad.
Jin's dad and Galen. His brother's going to be Thrawn.
His brother's Thrawn. So that's I'm awesome. Reading this on the Yuuzhan Vong Wikipedia on fandom. I've never read this before. Apparently, Filoni plans to put the Yuuzhan Vong in the Clone Wars.
Oh, really?
In the show, but they were to be featured in X-Files-esque episode in which the Yuuzhan Vong board the scout ship. They'd try and abduct, you know, whoever was on there, but it didn't make it. But at the end of this article, they do talk about that the Yuuzhan Vong are very similar to the Grisk, and maybe that is what we're getting. You want to do Lorna D or Game
first?
Yeah,
let's do it.
Lorna D. Tim's not done with the book. He's got like 20 minutes left, and I won't tell him the ending.
I'm right at the end, and I was like, Kevin, just tell me how it ends so we can talk about it fully.
You're at a pivotal scene, too. That's why I don't want to tell you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can talk about most of it.
How do you feel about Lorna D?
I like Lorna's story arc. I really, really like this whole coming from like a royal-ish family. This idea of where she just never really fit in and all she wanted to do was help and getting tricked because she fell in love. Like it was like this perfect story of just like you think that she's like everything's going well, then she just gets thrown in the mud and then she ends up in a slave camp of all things. And just like it's like this really cool progression of the character, and I can understand why she's just so jaded and angry all the time.
She is she became way more interesting to me. And I mean, we learned a little bit about Pan in this too. Well, if you finish Rising Storm, you know, Pan's alive.
Yeah. That was super. Yeah. Well, as soon as I heard her voice, I was like, wait a second. He's supposed to be dead.
Mark Thompson does his voice so good. All right, Lorna.
Yeah. Whatever modulation they do for his voice is fantastic.
Lorna, though, by the time I finished the book, I felt very differently about her than I did originally. She has this much survivor mentality, like all I want to do is stay alive. But every time she's offered a chance to get away from whatever is going on that is making her life worse, she doesn't do it.
She gets pulled right back into it.
Yeah, she, you know, it's almost like she's self-inflicting a lot of this. So
yep.
She's an interesting character. I'm glad they told her story. It gave really good context to why we're following her. Because at first it was just like, she's just one of the Tempest Runners. Who gives a shit?
Right.
You know? And that's why I was curious going into the book, like, what are they possibly going to say to me that is worth it? So I think that they have big plans for Lorna. I don't think it always is going to involve the Nihil. I actually thought I can't say that.
What do you mean you can't say it?
Because there's a scene that the last scene in the book is, I say scene because audible, but the last part of the book. Establishes the future of of where they're going with her character and what they're doing with the Nihil. So
which kind of like is a nice little, if anything, like a segue into our next part where we want to talk about the overall future of the High Republic, which sounds really exciting. But
every book kind of ends, or the ones with the Nihil, at least, they really end with the Nihil kind of being like broken and messed up. And you're like, how can they come back from this? And they always do.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see. I'm being very careful how I say this because I want you to finish it organically. It's interesting at the end of this because it puts the Nihil in a position that you're like, okay, all right, all right, okay. There's more here. So every time you think they're going to die, and it seems like they've really, I don't want to say stepped away from, but we hear about the Drengir. I know the Drengir are mainly in the comics right now, but in the books they've kind of like taken,
which is frustrating because they had like book two was all about them.
That's still my favorite book.
It is such a good book.
Yeah. So, but I know they're doing a lot with the Drengir in the comics, so I don't want to comment too hard on that. You know, and like Ty York from Rising Storm has her own comic now on IDW where she goes and hunts monsters because she is like a Jedi monster, or not a Jedi. She's a force using monster hunter, which is fun. So the High Republic is really still doing a very good job of kind of laying out the story. I also think Lorna D's story is going to be important for phase two in some fashion. I also enjoyed finding out what was going on Ryloth.
I didn't know that it was so
volatile
bad there. Oh my god, there's sex slaves, there's spice mining that's going on.
But
like,
the sex slavery makes sense because when we always see Twi'leks in a position
where always the sexy slaves.
Right. And that makes sense because that apparently, you know, they're selling them to people. That's why Jabba has Twi'lek slaves that are sex slaves. So we learned a little bit more about Ryloth culture. We learned that Ryloth culture hasn't changed much and that they just seem to always be at each other's throats.
Yeah, I didn't understand that there was other territories around that they were all feeding to Ryloth. And the whole idea of like, we're in the Outer Rim, as long as we pay our dues, no one's going to ask any questions. And to your point, Kevin, it was the same way in the original Star Wars. As long as like in the Outer Rim, as long as everyone kept quiet, And no one, and you just paid your dues, everything was fine. Because Jabba, when Padme goes to Tatooine and she's like, I thought the Republic abolished slavery. And she's like, not out here in the Outer Rim. And that's probably the thing. The Hutts are paying out. So why bother? No one cares.
And the Hutts, I have a feeling that, what are they calling it? Part two or whatever starts next year for High Republic.
Like phase two.
We'll have more Hutts in it because they're really laying the groundwork for what the Hutts are doing right now. The Hutts.
Yeah.
The Hutts are a big deal in the High Republic. They seem to be at another, you know, in Old Republic, we learned they were at the height of their power in Old Republic. So I have a feeling that never wavered through to the High Republic.
Yeah.
And that only recently in the Skywalker saga, probably because of the Empire, that the Hutts really have lost a lot of what they had. So,
right.
In the comics, we see the Hutts teaming up with the Jedi, and then we learn more about the Hutts in this book, too, and what's going on with them. But then I have a feeling Phase 2 is really going to have a Hutt presence because of what they're doing. You know, in the comics, we saw the Hutts team up with the Jedi for the first time to fight the Drengir. Like, that never happens.
Yeah, so. We did see kind of like visually like how the Hutt Syndicate was set up in Clone Wars. Like when we go and visit them, we see them all around like a mafioso family. Like they're all sitting around a table and you come in here. Like, you know, like even some, I think one had like the skinny Italian mustache and he sounded like the Godfather, which I thought was hilarious.
I'm enjoying the different types of Hutts that we see over time. You know, Zero was kind of the first Hutt that we met that A, could speak Galactic Basic, and B, that looked different from a Hutt. Yeah. And then the Star Wars games started showing us different versions of the Hutt, so it's been fun to see.
Yeah, seeing the purple Hutt was weird.
Well, in the Old Republic, in the SWTOR, the Hutt is like you said, the Mafia, and they have families.
Yeah.
So it's like the Hutt families, and you got to talk to the Hutt families. It's interesting. Speaking of High Republic, literally, Tim and I finished the episode 2 hours later last week.
So mad about that.
The rumor drops that Quantic Dream, which Tim said when he finished playing through the Quantic Dream games, I really hope they make a Star Wars game. So I feel like you spoke it into existence.
You are welcome.
And Quantic Dream is apparently working on a Star Wars game called Star Wars Eclipse. This comes from Eurogamer.net. And Star Wars Eclipse is based in, Tim,
the High Republic.
We don't have to be chained by all sorts of things. We just have to slide this into what we are already doing. And it's much easier for them to write a story in a video game while they're managing the stories that are coming out from the novels, the comics, and book, because they have main objectives that they want to get across. And then, you know, it all ties in together. So if you are planning on playing Star Wars Eclipse, one, if you've never played a Quantic Dream game, go back and play a few so you can get the vibe. Two, yes. They're very story driven. Very, very story. These are not games are not meant for action. They're not meant for, you know, big
dicking. Action packed. There's some action packed.
No, like, there's
the last
action.
One, Detroit Become Human, was pretty intense.
No, it's intense, but it's not like you're not trying to get your KD up in
these
games.
Yeah, it's not COD.
So, you know, I would prepare that way. They're very similar if you've played Telltale games to Telltale, but I think Quantic Dream is a bit better with action than Telltale did. I would prepare by getting other High Republic source material if you haven't, because I have a feeling they're going to lean heavy into Easter eggs from the books, the comics, and all the other media, because they don't really have movies and stuff that they can reference. So Eclipse should be revealed before the end of...
Yes.
2021.
You were muted. What did you say?
That muted?
You did the effect and it muted on mine. What did you say?
Why does it do that? I said 2021 with the big, you know, megaphone echo thing. That's so sad.
No, wait. That's what it's supposed to release at the end of 2021?
Revealed before the end of 2021.
I thought you said it was
going
to be released at the end of 2021.
Which leaves
like, Kevin,
one,
that's like now.
One major gaming event is left for the year to reveal the game at.
What?
The Game Awards.
I keep on forgetting that's a gaming event. Yes. Oh, no.
Exclusive reveal.
Oh. We're going to have to watch the Game Awards show?
No, you just sit on Twitter and wait for people to start being like freaking out. And then you go, you know, because as soon as they reveal it at Game Awards, they drop it on YouTube and Twitter and stuff. So that's what I do. I don't want to watch the Game Awards.
Yeah.
The Game Awards to me.
Uh-huh.
Sucks. It is like, it is just a circle jerk. Like, for instance, as a guy who plays a ton of sports games, you know, I love sports games.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is Hot Wheels one of the five nominated best sports games of 2021? You lost me.
Yikes.
Also, and I don't play Destiny anymore. So I don't have much to go on in this. I love the folks who work at Bungie, but why is Destiny once again in the category for, because I think it's community game or something like that?
Yeah, no, it's either for like ongoing developed game or like, yeah, best community game.
Like, yeah, I said, it's a gigantic...
Like Fortnite continues to get put in the nominees. Like, I'm so tired of it.
Fortnite was still in beta when it won its first Game of the Year award.
Yeah.
So,
and it continues to win awards.
Jeff's a very nice guy, but the Game Awards is a circle jerk. I hate most award shows, but this is a circle jerk. But for trailers, I'm all about it. So we will see. Game Awards, all eyes on you with that. Next week, Tim and I are still recording day after Thanksgiving. We're going to focus on the comics. We will be posting on our Twitter, Star Wars Scotch, which comics we will be covering. It might be one, it might be two. I'm going to go take a look today and see where we're at for comics. We've read most of the High Republic Marvel regular ones. We're going to start diving in and seeing, because there's a few more released since then. So the comics will be the focus next week. Are we, how many days away are we from Book of Boba?
It comes out December
28th, right?
8th? It's a Wednesday? No, that's not right. The 10th?
No, it's the 28th or 29th. It's after Christmas.
Oh, I keep on wanting it to be the beginning of December.
No. So hold we're about
then
5
weeks
out.
It's at the 28th?
Out.
Yeah, it's at the end of the... Yeah.
We're about 5 weeks out, so... For recording, for... We will not be doing... Okay, just so everyone knows. We will not be doing an episode the weekend of Christmas. So there will be no episode on Christmas Eve. The following week is Book of Boba, so we will be releasing an episode. Keep in mind that episode might drop earlier than normal. The episode for the week going into the new year, I'm going to say it again, might drop earlier than normal, because we want to cover Boba and we want to do it as quickly as we can and get it out to you, because I know many of you are going to want to chat.
So December 29th, the Wednesday.
Wednesday. So that episode might drop on Thursday or Friday. Maybe it'll even drop on Wednesday. Tim and I will figure it out and we'll talk. But keep in mind that episode will be sooner, and there is no episode the week before. None. Yeah. Zero. Zilch. No. Nada. Not happening. So essentially for this year, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 more episodes of Star Wars and Scotch left. So you better enjoy them.
And then we're done. And then we'll see you guys next year.
We'll be back when Mandalorian comes out.
Oh, that's crazy.
We'll see for Mandalorian. Nah, there's every week I'm like, what the fuck are we going to talk about next week? And then
a whole hour is done and we're good.
Yeah. So, and I'll be burning through Aftermath. So we'll talk about that. And Tim's going to be in the new Thrawn book. We'll talk about that. So we'll keep going. Once I'm done with Aftermath, I'm going to start the Thrawn series. So
good.
Tim's
you
excited.
Have to start, start in release order. You can't do it in you can't do it chronologically.
Oh, they're out of chronological order?
Yeah. So the first three books are when Thrawn is inducted into the Empire. It's his entire entirety of the Empire from when they first find him to right before we meet him in Rebels. Okay. That's books 1, 2, and 3. And then the Ascendancy books is everything before we meet him when he's going to the Emperor. So it's kind of like done in Star Wars fashion where the meat of it is first and then they go back and do a prequel. So it's fun though. All right. It's really good. You'll have fun.
Well, that's a wrap on episode 61 of Star Wars and Scotch. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you go over to kingscoastcoffee.com and get your holiday orders in. You're running out of time. You are running out of time. People love that cocoa.
And then when you tweet at us, be like, Kevin, there's no more cocoa. I'm like, we told you.
I've literally been saying for weeks there's cocoa left. There's still cocoa left. Go grab some.
I saw an order the other day of 20 cocos.
Yes, I just ordered 6 because I'm giving them away as stocking stuffers to my friends and to like my kid's teacher. And then people are like, isn't that self-promotion? Damn right it is. But when you have a good product, there's nothing wrong with self-promoting.
Preach, Kevin. Preach it.
Oh, I'm on like a self-promotion streak right now. I'm just going for it, selling out all across the board. Head over to highscoretees.com. Black Friday, both King's Coast and High Score Tees. You're going to want to check out both websites. Trust me. On Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Yes. So head over there, check it out. Tim and I will be back next week and go check out Tim right now. Well, yeah, they don't right now.
Now is over. It's over.
Yeah. When was then now?
Then would be at 9 a.m. But
fb.gg/darkest429 at 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. And I'm Kevin. Everything I do is on raredrop.co. You have a great, great weekend. Tim, take him out.
And may the force be with you.
Nailed it.